Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to live your life by design in 2009? Well, then sit back, relax, and enjoy an empowering conversation to advance and enhance your life. And now, your host, Miss Kathy Holloway Hill and Mr. Tony Lamont.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And you have us both here for the next 60 seconds on the Living by Design show, and we are very, very excited to bring you a fabulous topic this evening. Now, I just want to make one comment. Tony, I'm not sure what's going on up there where you are in Indianapolis. I'm here in southern Indiana, and we're under a major, major windstorm watch. It was a warning, but they reduced it down to a watch, and I can hear the wind. I mean, it is, like, mega strong.
And yeah, we're going through the same thing here.
They've reported trees uprooted, houses have been damaged, power outages all over the place, and it's just really bad. So I am going to pray, and we are going to have a fabulous show that I can maintain power throughout the entire time of the show. So we are going to go ahead on, and we're going to have a fabulous show in spite of the weather, because we've had a pretty tough winter thus far, but I guess that just means we're going to have a great spring.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, well, got a few things I want to make a comment about. I've absolutely been consumed with assisting my daughter with her upcoming wedding on Valentine's Day. She's going to be married this Saturday on Valentine's Day.
Well, that's
and
great.
I haven't really been able to think about much else because I'm so, so happy for her. And I just want to take a few seconds. One listener is going to have to be a little patient with me because I want to give her a quick shout-out. She is a wonderful individual. She's a beautiful young lady. And you know, I would say I'm a little biased, but if you've ever met her, you would know I am absolutely not biased. Most people would crumble with just a third of the adversity she's had to overcome in her life. I mean, she has been through so many things. She was born with some health challenges, and she is a walking testimony that God is in control of our lives. I can remember her asking me once about her situation, and she asked me, why does this have to happen to me, and I just want to be normal. And I told her that God places situations in our lives to make us strong, and if we just trust him, we come out on the other side stronger and wiser. And after that, it's just like, Tony, she took that and she ran with it, and she made a vow to trust God and keep the faith, and she was just determined to be strong and overcome her issues. And she didn't just say it. She lived it, breathed it, inhaled it, walked it, talked it. She was the poster child for drive and commitment. Pity City was not a place she wanted to plant herself. And, I mean, I could just go on and on, but she has excelled in every area of her life, and I am just so proud of the young lady she is today. And she's marrying an outstanding young man, and I'm so proud to call him my son. And I just want to say congratulations, Lisa, and I love you very, very much if you're listening. So,
yeah, congratulations. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is. It is a wonderful thing. So I just wanted to say that. February has been a very busy month. I can't believe we're almost halfway through the month. I mean, we've had a lot of things going on, Black History Month and this new stimulus package with the president making the announcement. I think it was passed through Congress. They didn't get the total amount that they were trying to get, but I think they got very close to it. So that's a major accomplishment in our country. So I'm very happy about that. The most significant thing for the month of February, in most people's opinion, is Valentine's Day, the month of love. Tony?
Yes?
Are you ready for Valentine's Day?
I think I spoke on this last week. I think Valentine's Day is a wonderful day designed for women. And I think that's a great thing. If women do participate and take care of their men, it's a wonderful thing. But I'm kind of biased when it comes to Valentine's Day, because it's a day that's supposed to be set aside to try to show someone that they're special to you. And the truth is that that's something that goes on all year long, or should go on all year long. So
that's right. You're right. It is absolutely supposed to. But I'm going to caution all of my male listeners right now. You better make sure you don't forget Valentine's Day. It's very, very important. Okay, that goes for you too, Tony. Whoever your significant other is, you may want to think about that. Now, we have quite a bit to cover tonight, so I'm going to try to make a few announcements here quickly. Last week, I forgot to announce the winners of the previous week's show when we featured Mark Dulaney, and he is a women's relationship coach. And Mark was so kind to offer some prizes, and there were three winners that were named for those prizes, and I want to name those winners. They've already been contacted directly by Mark, but I just want to make everyone aware that the winners were Tanika Feaster, and the second person is Adriana. She only gave her first name. And the last person is Janice Wright. So congratulations to you three young ladies, and I hope you are very, very happy with your winnings. Also along that same line, I just want to, again, I made this announcement last week, but I want to, again, take a moment to just talk about a special feature that we're going to have here on the Living by Design show with Mark Dulaney, Women's Relationship Coach. And it's going to be entitled The Women's Relationship Wednesdays. And we will feature Mark on our show every fourth Wednesday in an effort to ensure everyone has an opportunity to interact with him and draw from his wonderful experience and information. The first time we had Mark on a couple of weeks ago, it was a fabulous show. We got a lot of good response from it, and we want to continue that because we want to make sure that everyone has that special someone in their life on the next Valentine's Day. So stay tuned for that, because we will be talking more about that as we start. That's going to start at the end of this month, the end of February. February 25th will be our first Women's Relationship Wednesday show. Now, moving on to tonight's topic, because it is a great one. Miss Irene Martina, she is our guest tonight, and I'm going to be bringing her on the line here shortly. But I just want to say something about dreams and the fact that dreams can be very intuitive. And I myself don't have a lot of knowledge about interpreting dreams and how the whole dream world works. So I am going to bring Irene on the line, and she is going to give us a little bit about her background, and then we're going to just talk a little bit about some of the things that I know all of you are very curious about as well as me. So with that, I am going to bring Irene on the line. Irene, are you there?
I sure am, Kathy. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm just great because I'm not dealing with a windstorm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's pretty bad over here. So I'm just going to pray and make sure that, you know, God touches our show tonight and we maintain power for the entire time we're on our show here. So I know it's going to be great, and I'm really excited and optimistic about it. So I'm just going to, first of all, just let you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and what you do.
Okay. I'm a clairvoyant and have been, I would say, no, I recognize being a clairvoyant about 30 years ago. I have been doing readings since I was 8 years old. And I'm now a medium as well, and I'm an author and a speaker. The dreams, I guess, for me have been a passion, because when I was 8 years old, I had two recurring dreams that came true. And I became so enthralled with the power of that I decided to really start recording my dreams and pay attention to them. So I grew up with the thought that dreams were really gifts from our soul, and they become the blueprints of our past and our present and our future. And it wasn't until many years later that I realized that my mother and my grandmother were passionate about dreams. So I think I kind of must have come into it honestly in that respect. So I would have to say that's what brought it to me. And when these two dreams came true, at the time I had two aunts from Spain who were in Winnipeg, where I was raised, to give me or to pass on the reading of the cards and the tradition of the reading. And they were not biased in regards to any types of cards, so they always carried all these different types of decks from around the world. And so when they found out I had the dreams, they decided that they were going to test me. It was originally supposed to go to the oldest in the family, and I was the third oldest. So it was a neat experience what I went through when that happened. They blindfolded me, and they had me draw one card from each of these seven decks of cards. And unbeknownst to me, I kept drawing the death card out of each one of these tarot decks. So I drew death. Six times I drew this death card. And by this time, they're getting all really excited, and all these noises going on, and I'm wondering what's happening because I'm blindfolded. And then the seventh deck was a regular playing deck of cards, and that's the one where I drew the Ace of Diamonds, which is a high psychic card in the deck. And I was told never to touch a tarot deck in my life, and I haven't. So that's what I read today, and as well as I just wrote a book on dreams. So that's where I'm spending my time right now.
Absolutely fabulous, yes. And I'm glad you mentioned the book, because I'm going to be announcing a little later in the show, we are going to ask for, we have some giveaways. Irene has been very generously donating three of her books, so we're going to ask you to go to my website and sign up for a copy of one of Irene's books, and I think you would be very, very pleased. Now, Tony, I'm going to let you have the floor. I think you want to make a comment or a question for Irene.
Well, Irene, I have had an opportunity to work with or interview psychics or clairvoyants on my radio shows in the past. And unfortunately for me, I've run into some folks that didn't have the gift or said they had the gift. And I guess, you know, I play the advocate in many instances. And I just want to, you know, just for our listeners and those folks that are listening to us live in queue, but also for those folks that will check out the archive, can you read me? What would it take for you to do that? Is it possible to do that right now? And if so, can we do that?
I can only tell you what I've picked up in a few moments of listening to your voice. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. When I listen to your voice, I see a man who is very intuitive, very stubborn, passionate, and very dedicated to people and to his career. And I visualized, when you were talking, a camera over your head. And to me, it visualizes, or that visualization tells me that you see things with a real different perspective than most people around you. And in fact, you have a soul that seeks beauty and it seeks peace. I'm also sensing a very strong relationship with a woman that you have been with for a while that may be slipping away, actually. Maybe there's a fear of commitment there, but if you do not take some steps to strengthen this relationship or this love, you could be losing someone, and I think you would greatly regret it. I also had the neatest experience listening to you that you walk with angels. There are four angels in your physical life, and you may have problems with setting even boundaries with them, but there are three other angels that are in spirit form and that have been with you since birth. You have a very strong and specific purpose, or have been on a strong and specific purpose since you were born. Does that fit?
Okay.
Hello. Does it make any sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. Quite a bit of it does. Particularly when you said stubborn. that initially kind of caught me, and that's a characteristic. I'm stubborn when it comes to standing up for what I believe in, standing on what I feel. So I have a stubbornness that is there. And, yeah, there are quite a few other things that did stand out in what you said. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
I'm not going to comment. So we're going to move head on, and just let's Tony, do you have any other questions? I'm trying to get my my thoughts together here.
Well, when it comes to, and I know you were talking about dreams, so let's talk a little bit about the dreams. From the standpoint of dreams, I know dreams affect a lot of people different ways. Some people, they desire to know what they are. Some folks just say, well, a dream's a dream, and I don't really worry about it. Should we really pay attention to our dreams or just kind of let them go?
You know, I believe that every dream has a message, and that's why I totally believe that dreams really are gifts from your soul. Yes, they are about releasing emotions and issues that go on in our life, but that is not done without a purpose as well, too. And over the years, I've discovered that every dream has had some kind of a message for people, and I've interpreted hundreds and thousands of dreams, it seems, but I think of them really as being the blueprint of your past and your present and your future. So dreams are fascinating to me, absolutely fascinating.
Now, I just want to jump in here real quick. I knew this was going to happen. We have so many callers on hold. And callers, please be patient. I will definitely get to you, and I know you probably have a question, a comment for Irene. But I just want to ask one quick question for people. You know, Tony, I'm glad you said what you asked, the question you asked. It kind of threw me off a little bit, you know, because she was able to do that in the manner that she did it. But when normal people are trying to find a medium, Irene, how does one know, how can just a regular person tell when someone has a true gift versus a shyster that's just trying to make money?
Well, I think the number one thing is to ask around and try to get a referral from someone you know and trust. And if they give you a name, I think you should try to get all the testimonials you can. I think that I would ask them how long they've been doing this type of work. For example, I've been doing it since I was 8 and full-time for 15 years. Another thing I have discovered is that a lot of them won't tape the sessions, and that makes me suspicious as to why they won't tape the sessions. And that's one of the questions I personally would ask someone. And are they trying to sell you something else on the phone besides the reading? Are they trying to steer you into a different area? Do they want to meet with you at a coffee shop instead of another place? Do they pump you with questions? I think that's really important because I don't expect, I could have probably tried to pump Tony with some questions, but instead I trust what I'm getting, and if I needed to pursue it more with him, I probably could have gone on half an hour on him, and I don't really need to ask questions of people, except afterwards. I usually find, do you have any questions? I'll ask them, and I find that most of the time they don't. But I think the biggest one is testimonials. Just don't go blind and say that they must be good. The other thing is, another tip I would like to pass on to the listeners is don't do what Tony did, in a sense. Don't ask psychics to try and prove themselves by saying, what can you tell me about me? I really personally, and I think others that I know in the field, find it insulting. It's like asking a doctor to prove he knows something about medicine, or an accountant to say, you know, what's a debit or a credit? Sometimes it just gets our dander up, and we do not need to prove anything. When we have been in business for 45 years, I've been in business, and I have an amazing amount of testimonials. The second tip I think that's important for people out there is that asking a psychic or clairvoyant, if they are a police psychic, because they think that they're good if they are one, is ridiculous. A lot of psychics I know who have volunteered to help the police have failed badly. I've solved 3 murders and 2 disappearances, and the experiences were awful and scary, and I don't like them, and I refuse to help them anymore. I've been threatened by the police because they thought I was involved with the crimes because I knew too much. And then I get threatened by the family of the victims. And so my satisfaction with the police now is that I have a lot of them as clients, and that is far more impressive than me than being around helping them. And I often get people saying, well, you can't be any good if you're not working for the police. And that really is not true at all. So I hope that your listeners will sort of take some of that to mind when they're looking. And I think the biggest one is definitely testimonials.
Yeah, I definitely like the comment you made about when people just stop you to, you know, make you prove your credibility. I can imagine that that would be a little bit unnerving. So,
well, you know, it's like asking Tony and you, prove to me you really are.
Especially spur of the moment. But I tell you, what really did impress me is that you didn't ask him one question. Did she ask you any questions, Tony? And that is really impressive to me. That's a tip that I think is one of the biggest ones, when they don't ask you a lot of questions and then feed it back to you. So that's just something I think. I'm going to go ahead and go to the lines here just for a minute and see if someone has a comment or a question or what. But the topic we're discussing is dream interpretation. So I'm going to ask everyone to please keep your questions related to dream interpretation, because we will bring Irene back and we will have another show for a reading. But the comment that Tony made, I think Tony made the point that, you know, he just wanted to, you know, do that on the fly. So let's try to keep this within a dream interpretation discussion. And with that, we're going to go to area code 780. 780, you're on the line. Do you have a question or a comment? Okay. Let's go to area code 780 again. 780 is popular tonight. Area code 780. Can you hear me? Okay, 780 must be listening. Okay, area code 502. Area code 502 417. You're on the line. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do.
Okay, we're listening.
Are you there? First of all, good afternoon. How are you all doing?
Great.
My question is, I keep having a dream over and over again, and it's about me getting in confrontation with a gun, a shooting. Can you tell me exactly, you know, how you would interpret that dream, or should I not pay attention to it at all? Is she there?
Irene? Irene, are you there?
I guess you all having technical difficulties.
Well, Irene, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear. I just couldn't quite hear what he said the dream was about. I just heard him say it was recurring.
Okay, caller, please repeat the question. Thank you.
Question is that I continue to have a dream over and over again, and the dream is about guns. And a couple of times I shot someone. The other time the other person was shooting someone else, and I was trying to stop them. I've had the dream a number of times. Can you tell me, should I pay any attention to this dream, or what does it mean?
Well, several dreams can often happen over and over again for several months, and every dream, like I said, has a message in it. And sometimes a message can be very important in a dream, and when we don't receive the message, when we're not paying attention to the dream, it will often recur and keep recurring until we examine it, and sometimes dreams can actually turn into nightmares because of this. For example, I had a client who dreamt he was walking around the house and shingles would fall off the roof and hit him on the right side of his head, and he had this recurring dream for many months. I told him to go to a doctor, and they discovered a tumor on the right side of his head, which was operable, but it would have been too late if he hadn't paid attention to the recurring dream. So the thing is that you are the creator of your dream, and every symbol that's in your dream is because it means something to you. So the first thing I would ask you is, what does a gun represent to you? I know what it can represent to me, but I need to know what it represents to you, because that's the key to what this dream is trying to tell you about. Often guns can relate to fear or anxieties or worries.
I understand what you're saying. As far as guns are concerned, I don't have a gun. I don't keep one around, so it really doesn't mean anything to me. It means violence, as far as I'm concerned. But like you said, there are some things in my life that might have me worried. For example, I just buried my mother. You know, recently, you know, lost my job, so it could go along with those types of things. Is that possible?
Oh, yes, it is, because losing someone, sometimes we feel a sense of insecurity or we feel threatened, and because we've experienced a loss. So now we want to, on a subconscious level, want to protect ourselves. And so this could be what you're trying to do in a dream, or maybe you're trying to get a message across to a coworker, a family member about something you're feeling and you're not able to do it. So you could wave a gun in a dream and say, pay attention to me. I have something that I want to express to you. So absolutely, the gun is just a symbol of something that you need to look at in your waking life.
Okay. I want to thank you for your interpretation. Obviously, you've done great in your past endeavors. And I want to thank Kathy and Tony for the excellent show they put on. Have a great day.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
I very much
thank
appreciate
you.
Your comments. Okay, now, Irene, someone posted a question in the chat room, and I'm trying to scroll back because, here it is, okay. One of the questions in the chat room is, can you explain the difference in a medium versus witchcraft? Is medium the same as witchcraft? Is the question.
Oh, absolutely not. A medium is strictly a person who has the ability to connect and communicate with people who have passed away. Witchcraft is just people who work with Wicca. It's a study of all things that are dealing with witchcraft, and they deal with a lot of chants and ceremonies, and they can deal with spells. There's no difference at all. They're totally different. There are no difference. They're totally different entirely. Mm-hmm. I don't know a thing about Wicca.
Yeah. Okay. What are some of the tips you could give our listeners for helping to remember dreams? Because I know quite a few people struggle with, as soon as they wake up, they immediately forget their dreams.
Oh, that's really true. Dreams are very elusive. As soon as you have a waking thought in your mind, you can lose a dream. And I think a lot of times that a way to help remember your dreams, first of all, is a desire to remember. A lot of people don't think of it. They just think dreams are not that important. And so you have to want to remember your dreams. And then when you do, set the intention that you're going to remember them. You know, maybe when you drift off to sleep, you can say, I will remember my dreams. You may want to repeat this every night. Don't get discouraged if you don't get immediate results. You have to retrain your mind, and this can take time. Sometimes it's as simple as your nightly habits. Are you watching television or reading something intriguing or too stimulating and when you go to bed? This can interfere with your sleep cycle. Are you getting enough sleep? It really helps if you can establish a calm and soothing routine before bed, like meditating or listening to music. Avoid stimulants. So you can sleep better. Take a drink of a glass of water before bed is helpful too, because a full bladder will wake you up during the night and force you to go to the bathroom. And this usually provides a wonderful opportunity to recall a dream. We usually log about 5 dreams a night, and we dream in the rapid eye movement of sleep. So almost every 90 minutes you are logging a dream, and we have a tendency only to remember the last couple when we wake up in the morning. But you have to have sort of a gentle waking up so you, all of a sudden, you can sort of relax and don't let the alarm clock jar you too much and just say, I had this fleeting thought of a dream, and it was related to a gun, and I'd like to know what that meant more. And you can actually go back the next night and say, I want to recapture that dream again. What did that mean? Mm-hmm. So wake up slowly. Try not to rush and jump out of bed. Set the intention and just retrain yourself, and it'll come back.
Okay.
And Irene, I'm sorry, Kathy. I wanted to ask her, because when you said it'll come back, it reminded me of, I used to do this. I haven't done it recently, but I used to dream like in episodes. And I would have a segment of a dream, and I would want to revisit that dream. And invariably, a night or two or three nights later, I would pick up right where I left off, and the dream would continue. Is that
wow, really?
was that me trying to wish the dream, you know, to continue, or is it that's just something natural that can and does happen?
It can be a combination of both, Tony, because it is. That's what I'm saying about the power of dreams. They're just amazing that I can say to myself, I want to recapture that dream. I want to communicate in my dream. When you can communicate in a dream, it's called lucid dreaming. That's when you can take total control of a dream and actually have a dialogue with everybody in the dream. One day I said to you, I set the intention that I wanted to meet my spirit guide, which at the time was Red Cloud, and I said, you know, I want you to give me a call. In this dream I'm having, the phone rings, and I pick up the phone, and the voice says, well, this is Red Cloud. You were calling me? And then the next night I had the dream about him again, and I kept going back into this scenario talking to him for a whole week. I thought, how cool is that? So, yeah, you can go back into dreams, and especially if there's things that are still not finished in the dream, you can go right back in where you left off.
Wow. And, again, I'm going to remind you, I have some people on hold, and please, listeners, please be patient with us. We are going to try to get to as many ones as we can. I'm going to go to area code 831, and then I'm going to go to area code 919. So area code 831, you're on the line. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes. Hi, how are you guys doing today?
We're great.
My name's
Hi,
I'm Tina, and I have a question about a dream I had about a week ago, and it's really, it didn't seem like a dream because I only shut my eyes for a matter of seconds, and it was so real. What happened was, is I've been going through a lot. I've had an awakening. I'll say that. I'm dealing with a lot of heavy paranormal stuff at the current time. But anyway, I'm out in the garage, and, you know, it's raining out. And so I step outside, and I'm on the call, and I'm waiting to ask a question. And when the young lady gets on the phone and says, how can I help you? All of a sudden, a surge of electricity goes through me, not by lightning or anything. It felt so good. It was like vibrating, positive, wonderful energy that went throughout my entire body, and I actually fell forward like I was going to fall on my face, straight as a board, but I landed a foot above the cement, and I hovered there, and I could feel the vibration. It was incredible, and I was rising up, 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 and I could see the house. I could see the trees as I was rising up, and then I was abruptly awakened, and so it was just a matter of seconds. So I kind of felt like, was that really a dream, or was that a waking vision? Because I've had one waking vision about 8 months ago. So I was wondering, could you shed some light on that for me? Because it was something like I've never experienced before.
You know, you could have been having a very, I would call that a very spiritual dream, because you're probably picking up things on a precognitive level where you're, and also when the floating types of dreams, they are dreams of freedom, and they can be very strong dreams of happiness. Sometimes they can symbolize drifting without goals, and you can float around until you find answers to solutions or problems, or you can float until you gain a different perspective on a particular situation. But floating is usually associated with a wonderful state of relaxation, and you can be in that state where you can see things from a different level, and that's what sometimes is important about looking at things in your life. So I would say you had a combination of a spiritual dream that could have an effect on something going on in your life where you're needing to look at something from a more of a spiritual perspective. You could have also been receiving some channeled information from a spirit on the other side as well, too.
Oh my goodness, you are, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I feel like I'm going to be meeting my guide who I asked him what his name was, and the first name that popped in my head was Samuel. I've been experiencing the paranormal since I was 4 years old, and never being able to speak about it, being shamed and humiliated. I'm going through a lot right now, but it's good. I'm welcoming it, and I just feel like something, like I'm going to connect, and like a whole bunch of stuff is going to happen, but I feel that it's good. And I'm talking about crossing people over, speaking to people who have passed on. I've always been so terrified of it because whenever I see a spirit, I'm screaming before I realize that I'm screaming because it's actually like seeing a stranger in your house. But I've only had that happen once, and then I've had family members who have passed come to speak to me, and I'm screaming again. But I always ran from it. I didn't want to acknowledge it, you know, and I'm 40 now, and something so incredible happened in my house that it was literally as if the paranormal just basically shook me and said, you know, you were born to do this. And I set out searching for help for a family member, only to discover I've got a lot of stuff to do here. So I just feel like something's going to happen. I thought maybe that was a part of what's going to be taking place here in the next few weeks. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm going to meet maybe my higher self or my guide. I feel like a lot of things are going to begin happening because when I asked out loud for a waking vision, because normally I dream things and they come true, or it's a symbol and it's something that I need to pay attention, something that I'm not doing in my life. You know, it can either be a combination of both. But when I asked for a waking vision, I let it go, and 8 days later, I had one. 8 days after I had one, the person in my vision showed up at my door. 8 days after the person showed up at my door, like in the vision, that person went to jail. So it's just been amazing. I have like a totally new reality now. And I just was, you know, thinking maybe that had something to do with it. So when you said a combination of a spiritual, getting some, you know, information or, it was just incredible. It felt wonderful, but I'm trying not to be afraid of it. Did you, at first, when you began seeing people, how did you become brave? Like, you know, to not, I don't want to be scared. I'm telling myself, don't scream. How can you overcome that?
You know, my first experience with seeing a spirit was I was 4 years old in the sandbox, and my grandfather had fallen off the roof and died. And when I looked up and when I heard this thud, and I saw this spirit, this native man who was Red Cloud, and I could see right through him. And all I kept looking at is, why does he look so funny? And he kept saying, go for help, run to the neighbors. And then I never had another experience with spirit until I was 8 years old and those dreams started happening. And I was quite terrified. And I was so terrified that I wouldn't tell anybody about them. And then the biggest change for me was when I went to a show and I saw Dracula in a movie when I was about 16. When I come home and I thought, what if he's real? I had no concept about him just being a horror monster because I could see these strange spirits. And so I sat up all night for about a month with garlic around my neck and I wouldn't look in a mirror and I had crosses all over the bed, finally dropped in exhaustion, and my mother asked me, what is going on? And I said, I don't want to see these creepy people. And she said, what are you talking about, creepy people? So I told her, and in her wonderful wisdom, she found somebody who did channel spirits, and she sent me to this woman who was able to validate what I was seeing, and she said to me, no, you just have the ability of clairvoyance. And clairvoyance means you can see things beyond the normal range of vision. Now, a lot of clairvoyants only see it in their mind's eye, but a lot of clairvoyants will also see it in the physical. And I have been very fortunate that I have not run into a lot of negative ones. And when I do, there's a woman here that in Edmonton that I will send anybody with paranormal activities going on to her because I always see the benevolent spirits. And those are the ones I only want to deal with. So I set up rules and boundaries with these spirits because they can almost take over. Your floating can also represent you floating between the reality and the surreal and that you haven't made a decision yet. When you make the decision, you either fly free and can join these spirits and communicate or you stay very, very grounded. And in communicating with spirit, you have to be extremely grounded. So the floating dream and the flying dream are very strong for you making a decision. You're in between worlds. But you know what? You have to, if you start showing a lot of fear with them, they will try to take over a little bit too, especially if they become earthbound. But I've been very lucky. I've had Red Cloud's guidance since the time I was about 16, 17, and now I know how to deal with it. But it took me a while. I was very frightened of it.
Well, I have my, I'll just say it, my brother actually, he's been homeless for years, and, you know, we had a really horrible upbringing. We should have been put into foster care. And my brother could never combine the realities and just suffered so terribly and then would turn around and repeat it and inflict it on people. And he was here. His visits are short because I can't handle the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and that's really sad. But anyway, he was here, and when he turned around to look at me, his light blue eyes turned black, including the whites of his eyes, and it was as if he took a huge breath in. And it stared me down, and I had not 1 ounce of fear because in my belief, I felt that I was dealing with a demon. And I thought, this has been the first happiest 10 years of my life. I'm in a wonderful marriage, and I've been blessed with children. And I love my family, and all I care about is just being with my family. I don't care about money. You know, we get by, but we're happy, and we're good people. And I thought, I will not let you or any spirit or any demon come and rip apart my family. And I stared it down, and then I called my husband in to witness what I was witnessing, and I kept asking, what's wrong with your eyes, Ron? What's wrong with your eyes? And there was no response, but then a slow smirk crossed his face, and then he turned his head and then turned back, and his eyes were totally normal. And, you know, I struggled with that for about 2 to 3 days before I thought, you know, I can't turn away from this anymore, that my brother's in danger. And then I heard the words free will, free will, free will over and over and over in my head, because in the vision it was him I saw. I actually thought he walked up to my door, and I ran to greet him, and when I opened the door, he was not there. When I closed the door, I saw gel bars, blue in color, and when I went to walk in my kitchen, I saw him in a coffin, you know, no longer here. And when I was very upset and confused, the words free will were just going over and over in my head. So I thought, okay, we all have free will. And I'm not sure exactly, you know, the details, but someone's telling me that he had free will. So he may have invited this, which I've come to believe, because he did confirm that a day later. But I didn't ask about his eyes. And I was wondering, why didn't I ask about his eyes? But I think spirit was with me, and I'm so glad I didn't. So a lot of things are happening, and I am welcoming communication. I want to help humanity. I want to do so many things to help people, but I know I'm not sure what to do, and I've just said it out loud, and I'm trying to, I tell them, look, if I scream at first, just don't go anywhere. I'll calm down.
And we want to thank you so much. Your comments have really, really helped a lot. I am going to be posting Irene's contact information up in the chat room soon. And also, if you want to continue to listen, we'll get her contact information out to everyone, because she's fabulous. And I'm sure that she can offer a lot more insight into your situation, because it sounds extremely interesting. So,
I'm writing a book about it.
Oh, good. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. And we're going to move on to our next caller, and that's area code 919. Area code 919.
Yes.
You're on the line. Can you hear us?
Hi. Yes, I can hear you all. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to talk to your guest about the dreams that I have. Since I was a little girl, I've always had dreams about things that's going to happen before they actually happen. And sometimes I'm actually dreaming stuff while it's happening. And I'll give you an example of that. This was a few years ago. I was working at a bank, and a lady there was pregnant. She was expecting her second child, and one Sunday evening, just out the blue, I'm asleep, and all of a sudden I have this dream. And in this dream, my hand is mashing her stomach. And I'm trying to take my hand off of her stomach, and I keep saying, get your hand off or she's going to miscarry. Get your hand off, she's going to miscarry. And no matter how hard I tried to get my hand off of her stomach, I could not move my hand. And I didn't think anything about the dream. I saw the young lady a couple of weeks later. I told her about the dream, but it never dawned on me to ask her how she was doing with the pregnancy. So I told her about the dream, and she just looked at me. And then about another week or two went by, and I asked her, I said, I meant to ask you, how are you doing with the pregnancy? And she told me that the reason she looked at me when I told her about the dream is because the same night that I was having the dream is when she had the miscarriage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, I mean, stuff I have I've
now,
seen
I mean,
stuff
is
like
that a... Is that prophetic, Irene? Or I mean, how could you?
Precognitive dreams are actually pretty, pretty common to have dreams of that. It's sort of a special type of extra ESP, and these dreams can often be called dream divinations. You know, and these dreams, like I said, are quite common. They can be experienced by anyone. If they really are occurring, then maybe you have the ability to do. Use them in order to help people for sure. I mean, these dreams can even be quite trivial at times, but you have to pay attention to them because you are getting messages in these types of dreams as well, too. The only thing I caution you on is that you have to be very careful of what you do tell people if you do get these precognitive dreams, because sometimes we think they're precognitive dreams and they're not. And not everyone can handle receiving a precognitive dream. For example, if I sense or dream that somebody I know is sick or ill, I may feel it out a little bit and say, okay, is it something that I need to take a look at in me, first of all, because you are the creator of the dream, and you are the director, the creator, the producer, and the star. So there's always an aspect of you in every dream. So when you run to someone and say, well, I think you're going to be ill, or I think you have cancer, or something's happening, you're taking a big responsibility into your hands to do something that could frighten people. So when you think you have a precognitive dream, you should log it and validate it with someone and tell them you had that dream. And then when you are able to prove it with a situation like you had, then that is what you need to do, is start proving your dreams and logging them and seeing how precognitive they actually are and how many or what percentage actually comes to pass. But when it deals with issues that can be very prolific or they can be scary or health issues, be very, very cautious about what you do with those dreams before you approach people, because you can really scare dreams or scare people when you can dream like that.
Right, and I'm glad you said that, because actually after that happened, she and I were close enough that I could actually talk to her and tell her that. And after that, an older lady told me that I needed to start writing down my dreams and do the exact same thing you said, which is write them down, you know, tell someone, and then validate them. And if I was to show the journal of things that I dream about and then they actually happen, or I see something getting ready to happen, and it happens exactly as I wrote it down. And sometimes it's word-for-word dialogue that I can hear being played out, and I can write it down, and sure enough, that it happens just like that. So
you're psychically tuning into an energy that's out there where you're being able to pick up these kind of things. And, you know, a lot of people experience that at the time of 9/11, I don't have a lot of precognitive dreams. And I think part of that is because as a clairvoyant, I work with that stuff all day long with predictions for people. And I think my dream state is a place of rest where other people, they are so in tune to having these types of dreams, they do extremely well with it. And, I mean, that could make an amazing book. You could do amazing work with this kind of stuff. And the best way is to document everything you can so that you can prove a percentage is extremely high on your predictions, and then people will really start listening to you.
Okay.
So good.
And I encourage you to just continue to listen, because we're actually going to get a little bit into dream journaling here, you know, as the conversation goes on. So
okay. Please,
Jamila, keep listening, because, I mean, you've really made some excellent points. As a matter of fact, when she said that, Irene, one of the people in the chat room, she just wrote down that she had a dream about her, and I know this might be simple, but it's you know, it's still pretty powerful. She had a dream about her windshield wipers not working on Saturday, and then on Monday when she went to start her car to go to work, her windshield wipers didn't work.
Right. Mm.
Well, you know what? Every symbol.
How crazy is that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. That should happen to her. A friend of mine had that happen to. She said to me, "Well, I just had the windshield wipers replaced on my car," and I said to her, "What's the matter with your eyes?" She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, there's always a symbol of us in the dream because we have, in real life, we are our egos are big. The world is about us. We usually dream. We always dream in symbols and metaphors." So we have to place an object in the dream that creates or is symbolic of us. And it's usually the biggest object in the dream. So a car is often related to our egos. So the journey on the road that the car is going down is the journey of our life. If we're driving a car, we're in control of our life. If we're in the back seat, we're taking a back seat to someone. And so the car is often symbolic of who we are. And when something's going on with the car, the first thing I'll say to them, is this happening to you in your waking life? And she said, yes, I just had to get glasses. So that's interesting that she had that. I would have thought right away there's something wrong with her vision.
Wow. Wow. And let's just kind of talk a little bit about that because I do know that, you know, there's quite a bit of comments now about dream journaling. So just talk, I mean, we know it's very important to keep a journal, but just talk about some of the benefits of keeping a journal and how it can just really show patterns and kind of give you a roadmap to what could be happening or what might be coming along down the road. Or, you know, talk about journaling, the benefits and the importance.
Well, a dream journal is a journey of self-enhancement, self-knowledge, and great insights. It's inspirations, fascinations. And because dreams are always giving you some type of a message, we should always be able to keep track of them because we do create patterns. Symbols will repeat themselves. So if an apple means health to me, every time I see an apple in a dream, I'm going to think of it as some health thing that's coming up in the dream. But an apple could mean something totally different to someone else. So the practice of regularly recording your dreams is extremely beneficial because, A, you start to create a record and understand a little bit more about who you are. It increases your imagination. It awakens your intuition. It identifies health problems before they even occur. It gives you the potential for gaining greater insight into your past as well as your future lives. It just goes on and on and on. And be willing to make guesses. Now, this is the thing. In a dream journal, you should have lots of question marks. There's no right or wrong way to do your journal, but every time you use it, the process will become more enlightening and insightful for you. You have to find a method that works very well for you, and your journal will soon be filled with some amazing, wonderful discoveries. A dream journal is a book of your biography. It is all about who you are. And the requirement to keep in a dream journal is honesty. We have a tendency to want to fill in the missing pieces of the dream, and we want to keep it whole, and we want to make sense of it. So we have to avoid the temptation of exaggerating our dreams or try to make them coherent or more interesting. You should fill your journal with pictures, talk about your feelings, talk about the moods. Never rush into a dream conclusion, as it may take away from the real message of the dream. Sit with the dream maybe for a week or even 2 weeks and then go back and mark the dream. But I think dream journals are the biggest keys to understanding everything in our life.
Absolutely. And another point I want to make sure our listeners understand is lots of people have dreams about, I mean, there are some very popular dreams like dreaming that you're falling or dreaming that you're trying to run but you can't move and, you know, just popular dreams like that. Explain how dreams are symbolic and not literal and how, you know, some of those interpretations can be, you know, determined, like, you know, how symbols or things in the dream represent a symbol of some sort, or talk a little bit about that.
Well, our brain has stored every memory we've ever had since we were born. It's an amazing computer or database. Now, when we're sleeping, we're not in a conscious state to talk. So inside of us is a dream creator that will pull out symbols from our database and make a story that is created because of our own unique symbols. It hopes that you will then be able to interpret that dream by your association to those symbols. Because the ego sleeps, it cannot communicate as you and I are right now. It can only pull from your database and hope that you are going to understand it. So it brings in symbols that you can relate to. It brings in metaphors, and it brings in emotions. And so the language of dreams is always related to some kind of a symbol. Usually the biggest object in the dream is you. So if I'm in a field driving a car, the field is about me. What's going on in that field is an aspect of something I need to take a look at. The car is my mobility in life and my means of getting from place point A to point B. But it is all about you in that dream. So, and it's all symbolic because you can't talk to yourself in the dream world.
And what is the dream of falling? I mean, because I know lots of people have had that falling dream, but they never hit the bottom. I don't. Maybe sometimes people do hit the bottom. I don't know. Is there a specific meaning to that particular dream?
Well, falling dreams are often related to being out of control in our life, and it's often triggered by stress, relationships, health issues, fears, or anxieties. Falling dreams can also be symbolic of a lack of confidence in our life or self-esteem. And what if we're dropped by friends? All of a sudden, nobody wants to see us anymore. We have this sense of, oh my goodness, I'm falling out of favor with people. Some people do believe that if you fall and land in a dream, the landing will actually cause a physical death. Now, I haven't found any research to substantiate that belief, nor have I ever experienced landing in a falling dream. I always wake up before I hit the ground. We often may feel we are slipping away from things in our waking life, and we could be losing our place in relationships or careers or financially. Landing in a falling dream could be symbolic of hitting bottom in your life due to some kind of destructive behavior. This could include gambling, drug addiction, alcoholism, sort of, etc. If this is the case, then I suggest someone would seek professional help, especially if falling dreams are recurring. They may want to talk to a psychologist or a medical doctor. One of my clients constantly experienced falling dreams, and I intuitively suggested that she seek medical attention. And when she saw her doctor, she discovered she had very low blood pressure. In other words, her blood pressure was falling. So every dream has a message, and the sooner you get it, the better it's going to be for you.
Now, Irene, I wanted to ask you, because you said something earlier, and something that has happened with me, and it was interesting when you were saying communicating, because there have been times that I've had a dream, and I've been in the midst of the dream, and the dream has been so, for lack of a better term, terrifying, that I've told myself that, not even a nightmare. It was just so startling to me that I told myself at that time, I'm dreaming, and I just played it out. I didn't believe that it could be anything else but a dream, and that's how I communicated and was able to get through the dream instead of it, I guess, turning into a nightmare. Is that something normal that happens? Is that kind of weird for it to happen to me? I mean, because I not heard a lot of folks talk about being able to take control of the dream in that way, and I just wanted to know if that had a special symbolic meaning or something.
I've had that happen to me too, so that's a great question.
Yeah, what you were happening was you were also lucid dreaming, and that's knowing when you're in a dream and you can change it around. You know, I grew up with the philosophy that nightmares were actually, or the teachings, and nightmares were very spiritual dreams. And what happens when we don't get the message, it escalates. And our dream creator escalates these dreams until we pay attention to them. And usually nightmares are disturbing dreams that come from our fears and our anxieties and our worries. And they can also let us know about health problems. The thing is, you can go back into a dream. When I awake from a night dream, let's say a dream where I have three people chasing me, and I'm panicking and I'm frightened and I wake up, I will go back into the dream right where the point where these people or three men, let's say, are going to attack me, and I will turn and face them and have a dialogue in my mind with them. Why? What is it you want from me? And I'll continue this dialogue and talk them out of attacking me. And so I take the fear out of the dream. But then I also say to myself, there must have been three things in my waking life in this week or that day that I'm needing to face. And usually I can identify what they are instantly. And nightmares are usually related to some kind of stress or anxiety or worry. What you've done is had a great ability to recognize that you were in the dream, and that's lucid dreaming. You took control of it and changed it right away. And that's very rare, Tony, that people can do that. Very rare.
Yeah, because that's happened to me as well. Yeah. A question in the chat room, and this has happened to me too. I've had a lot of these experiences that everyone else has had. I'll be in a dream, and the person in the chat room said she'll be in a dream, and she'll just wake up so sad, and her face is just soaked with tears, where she has been actually crying in the dream.
Well, you know, that's not very uncommon either, Kathy. Tears are an emotional release for us, and they're cleansing and healing. When we cannot face or deal with something or someone in our emotions in our waking life or from our past, we will cry in a dream and release it. And this can be because we don't want to give away our emotions in our waking life. We don't want anybody to see that we're really feeling. And so the body has to be able to release all of this stress and tension and anxieties, so we will release it through the dreams. When you awake from a crying dream, you ask yourself, what are you really feeling? Is there an emotion that you're feeling in your current life you're not dealing with? If you awake and find you've actually been crying, this may suggest that someone close to you has experienced some hurt or trauma. Tears represent compassion, healing. Do you need to have a good cry in your life and you're holding it back? So that's not uncommon to wake up crying or have a crying dream. It's really quite healing and a release for you.
That's great. That's good to know. Yeah, because I know usually when I find myself, if I wake up crying from a dream, it's a dream that it's either a dream about a deceased loved one or a dream about a disappointing situation that has recently happened in my life or something like that. So, yeah, I guess that would kind of apply. What does the dream mean? I know I've had this. It's not a recurring thing, but I have had it quite a bit, and I know some people in the chat room may agree with me. When you're trying to run away from something but you can't move.
Is it paralysis, you mean? You really can't move at all?
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to run, but, yeah, you're kind of paralyzed, and, you know, you're trying very hard to move. And yes, someone in the chat room just said yes, yes, yes. You're trying to move, but you're kind of like stuck, and you really do want to run. You want to run like something may be going on. Anything could be going on in the dream. Somebody could be chasing you, or you can't run, mm-hmm. and you can't say anything. It's like you're paralyzed.
Well, running is actually one of the most common dreams, especially nightmares. Running away or being chased usually represents avoiding or running away from something in our waking life. Running to something can mean running towards a goal or confidence or strength or health. Running can represent speed. It can be positive or negative. It depends what else is going on in the dream. Not being able to move very fast can represent a few things. It could represent you're not meant to run or escape from a waking life issue, that you need to face it. Hence, I can't get my body in motion. I can't move. Trying to reach a goal sometimes that does not have momentum in your and you desire it to move forward, and it's not. Sometimes it can be hard to achieve, so we struggle in the dream and we can't move fast enough. You may be wanting to reach a finish line with someone and they're not moving fast enough or for you, so you slow down and match their pace. Now, this can often happen in relationships where they, especially in marriages, where they feel one partner's really moving so fast and too far ahead of the other. Running slow can give you the time to think about things as well. And so maybe you're meant to look at that as well. Running is caused by stress and anxieties. But paralysis is usually, I cannot move. I'm frozen. I'm afraid to move forward of something in my life. I'm afraid to face something. And you have to look at instantly, what is it you're fearing? And, you know, it can be as simple. For example, I had a client who dreamt that she suddenly saw her mother in a coffin, And, of course, she was just so upset over this, and she phoned me and said, Irene, my mother, is she dying? And I said, no, because we dream in symbols, not very often in reality, like the other lady who has very strong precognitive dreams. I said to her, the first thought is, did you lay to rest any issues you had with your mother? Did you bury the hatchet with your mother? And she said, absolutely, I did. And she said, our whole relationship has changed. And I said, certainly. If that's happened, then you will bury the old relationship you had. Paralysis is almost the same way, or running. It can be exhilarating in a dream, or it can be, what am I running from? What do I need to face? And often it's a fear or anxiety or major worry. A lot of people will have dreams where they're afraid to losing their job, and especially with the economy and things happening in the world today, running right now could be a very strong dream that a lot of people are having. And it's, they're trying to avoid the issues, or where do I run to? How can I hide from this? And they, like I said, running dreams can sometimes be powerful. They can represent you moving towards a goal with confidence and strength, but often they're very negative dreams for people.
Well, Irene, let me ask you, because a lot of folks will try to, what advice can you give to parents and relatives and guardians? Because a lot of folks will tell their children, well, you're just dreaming. Don't even worry about it. It's not a big deal. You know, that kind of thing. But listening to what you're saying, and you learned at a very young age that you had the abilities that you had. What advice can parents give to their children?
And before you answer that, just, you know, because we've already had two callers that have said they actually dreamed situations that were prophetic. I mean, they saw things before they happened. So that's a great question.
You know, the children today in the last couple of generations are, you know, supposedly called the crystal children and the rainbow children, and they're supposed to be a lot more psychic to bring messages onto the planet to help us deal with the issues that we are facing in some of the older generation. And the thing of it is that I, you know, when I wrote my book, Dream Talk, that my book is a how-to book. It gives you the 11 master keys on how to understand your dreams. And most of the books on the market don't do that. They are directories. And these directories are strictly the meaning of the author who wrote it. I had a woman in a dream workshop once, and we had given a symbol of a cross. And, of course, people are saying, well, gee, it represents Christianity or Christ or spirituality. And this one woman had this most terrifying look on her face, and I said, well, what does it mean to you? She said, oh, it means torture. No one can really understand or translate another person's dreams without making them understand what the symbol means to me. And my book is a how-to book. And, you know, I had a library here in the Edmonton area phone me, and they told me that they put my book in the library. And that was so thrilling to me. And the woman said, it's the best resource book on dreams we've ever seen. It's so practical and easy to understand. And people who have gone through my workshops, although I'm not giving them so much anymore, said that the biggest thing it did was change their relationships with their spouse, because they started talking about dreams, and with their children. And so sometimes parents will ignore these dreams, and they shouldn't do that. And I wish that I could give every single person in the world a copy of my book, because they don't know what harm they're doing by ignoring their children's dreams, especially when a lot of them are so tuned in or precognitive dreams coming from these kids today. And they're picking up things that are violent and all kinds of issues. And, you know, I think a lot of these suicides are coming from dreams that they're having, and they think there's something wrong with them, and they're not. And I really do wish that people would pay more attention to them and learn to understand their symbols. Sorry, I get a little excited and passionate about this.
No, thank you. That's exactly why I asked that question.
And Irene, while we're talking, let me just go ahead and post your contact information in the chat room, because I'm getting some questions and comments about how to get in touch with you. So your website is what?
I have two websites. One is more on the clairvoyance and medium, and that's irenemartina.com. And there's no A on Irene.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people want to say Irina Martina.
Oh, right.
And it's just irenemartina.com. And then I have a website called dreamexpertirene.com.
Dream
and that
expert
one's not totally
Irene?
Finished. Yeah, dreamexpertirene.com.
Okay, got it. Dreamexpertirene.com. Okay, got them both in there.
My book is available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And my publisher is actually from the States. It was published from a firm called First World Publishing in Iowa, and the book can be gotten from them as well, as, of course, from my website. But, I certainly hope that anybody out there listening will take the time to really understand their symbols and do research on dreams. It has to feel right to you. Like that woman said when I talked about floating, it fit for her. And it resonated, and that's what it has to do. I can't force my symbols on you, and no one should ever do that to anyone. And so it's really important for you to understand who and what you are, and that's another reason why the journals are so important to keep.
Right, because you're right. One symbol for me would have a different meaning depending on what's going on in my life, and that's how I'm interpreting that. Is that correct? Because for me, a car in a dream or me running in a dream could be totally different from someone else running in a dream.
Oh, yes, especially with different cultures, you know,
right.
And people all over the world, they don't see things the same way as we see things. You know, you can ask someone what a snake meant to them, and they said food.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
I said,
and a gentleman
grew up
that called And the gentleman that called in about the gun, for him a gun meant violence, but for someone else a gun may be protection.
Exactly, or a weapon or something that are they shooting for a target in their life. It could be just symbolic of trying to shoot for something.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, in my book, tell people to play the Mars game. If somebody says, what does this mean, Irene? I had this dream about a snake. I would simply say, well, you know what? I'm from Mars. I have no idea what you're talking about. What is a snake? And they'll start to describe a snake. And when you start to describe something, your first two or three descriptive aspects of what you're describing are usually exactly what the dream means to you. So for me, a snake is betrayal. That's the first word that comes to mind for me. For someone else, it's food. For a metaphor, it would be a snake in the grass, you know. But I always say to them, no, that's a cop-out. I'm not going to let you off the hook. What is a snake mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to do with people. It's not my symbol. It's yours.
Right. Well, that's very interesting. Now, I'm going to go to the lines. Callers, I really apologize. I'm going to get to as many as I can, but I know we're probably going to run out of time here. But I'm going to go to area code 634. Area code 634, you're on the line. Do you have a question or a comment? Okay, moving on. Area code 370. Area code 370, you're on the line. Do you have a question or a comment? Okay, just listening. And area code 334, you're on the line. Do you have a question or a comment? Area code 334.
Getting tired of waiting.
Maybe they're just listening. I'm not sure. But I just wanted to say, because I know we're coming up on our last 15 minutes, and I knew this show was going to go pretty quick, but this is kind of for me, and I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but there are going to be hundreds of thousands of listeners that are going to be listening on the archive download. So just in case it has happened to them, I was very, very close to my mother, and she has crossed over. And I really, really want to dream about her. I want to dream about her very badly, but I can't. And I don't understand.
Many loved ones pass on. I'm sorry. Did you have something else, Kathy?
No. I was just saying I don't understand why I can't. I would like to, but I can't.
Well, most people don't dream about their loved ones that passed on. Many loved ones that do pass on can totally disconnect from Earth, and they totally disconnect from their relationships. It's just like I cannot make a loved one come in. No medium can. They are often around us, and we are often not aware of it because we don't see them or feel them. one of the things that can be a telltale sign of them being around is, let's say you're very absorbed in doing something. You're on a project or you're doing your ironing or you're really into the what you're doing, and suddenly your mom's name or the word mom pops into your head. Where would it come from out of the blue if it were not for the fact that your mom was right there around you and you picked up that energy? So often that's what's happened. As I'm talking to you, I pick up that your parents come to you almost every night and they have a black dog with them and they're standing at your end of your bed in roughly around 3:10 p.m.
What color dog? Did you say a dog?
Yeah, a dog. And they come to you about 3:10 at night, in the morning. Do you ever wake up at that time?
So I guess that means my dog, I did have a black dog. Her name was Stuff. So I guess that's confirmation that she's gone. Okay.
So your parents are there with the dog, then they come and visit you almost nightly. And if you find yourself up at 3:10 a.m., it's probably because you're feeling the energy of them in the room. And, you know, just say hi to them. Even though you can't see them, it doesn't mean they're not visiting you. It's just that most people, the first line of communication from people who pass away is often through dreams. They'll at least make one kind of connection of some kind, and then often they don't come back in dreams again. They'll just try to come back to you in a spirit form, and we don't realize that they're there. And sometimes you'll just smell something. If they smelt of aqua velva aftershave and all of a sudden you smell it, that's because they're right there. Or you smell that your mom's perfume or a flower she liked or something. They are around. We just don't know how to be aware of them. You can sit quietly sometimes and just hold your hand out and ask if they'll come and touch you. You can visualize a person. It helps if you visualize a person and just say, Mom, I really want you to come to me. Can you come to me and touch me? And you can often, you'll feel something, a tingling in your hand, or you'll smell them, or you may hear something, or the rustle of their clothes. It's awareness a lot. Most people aren't aware of it at all. They just don't tune into it.
Well, you said something that it really brought closure to me, and I really do appreciate it, because I did have a black dog. And she was very dear to me, and something happened, and she went away. Someone else was responsible for keeping her, and to this day I never knew what happened to her. I didn't know if somebody stole her, or she just ran away, or what. But I guess if she's come, and you're absolutely right. I mean, that is just really bizarre, because I do wake up every night. It's just really weird. I wake up every night around that time, somewhere between 3 and 3:30, but I always go back to sleep. I always go right back to sleep. And
next time it happens, just say hi to them. And see if you get anything or feel anything. You should just try to communicate with them when you can. They are around. They're just in a different world, and we just can't experience them or feel them too much. But they do hear us. They do see us.
I know there's no such thing as coincidences. I don't really believe in coincidences.
Oh, you're right there. There is no such thing as coincidence. Yeah. Everything happens for a reason.
It really, truly does. I mean, everything happens for a reason. I think we get messages. We get messages in so many ways that we don't really know that we're getting messages. So.
Yes, and we ignore them because we can't explain it away to someone. We just poo-poo it away, and we don't pay any attention to it. And that's the thing with the younger generation now, is they are paying more attention to it. They're saying, what's that? That's cool. I want to explore that a little bit. You know, because if it doesn't fit into a slot or a category or a particular religion or something, people are frightened of it. They don't want to acknowledge it. And yet we're made of energy, and energy can never die. So it just changes forms, and that's the thing that we become frightened of, or we don't pay any attention to. You know, when my sister died in 95, I was the executor of her estate, and I came home and I had the briefcase from the funeral home with all her paperwork in it. I have no children, I have no pets, just my husband and I. And I threw her briefcase on the chair and I said to my husband, I don't want to deal with this till Monday morning. Let's just take the weekend and, you know, just be in our grief. And Monday comes along, and halfway through the day, I decide, well, I better get to it and face this, and I got to handle her affairs. Well, I went in the living room, and I couldn't find this briefcase where I'd thrown it on the chair. So I phoned my husband. I said, did you move the briefcase? He said, no, why would I? He said, I didn't touch it. I haven't seen it since we came home Friday. You know, my husband's a really logical left-brain person. He just kind of shrugs and says, no, I don't know. You know, but I didn't touch it. So 3 days we looked and tore this house apart. We went all through this house. And finally, I sat in my reading room and I said, Linda, I need your briefcase. I have to deal with this, honey. I said, you've passed and I'm sorry and I miss you. What's that? And I said, I need to deal with this. So I go get out of my room and go into the living room, and the briefcase is sitting on the chair, right where I put it Friday.
Wow.
And that thing, that happens a lot around here. My husband is now a believer, strong Greek, Ukrainian Orthodox, and he doesn't even question it anymore. He's seen so many things materialize out of thin air around this house. He said it's just uncanny. And now he's a firm believer in this. It's cool. We just don't realize it, and we don't realize how powerful it can be when we want to make use of it.
Absolutely. Now, Irene, I'm just going to switch gears just for a second because we're coming up on our last 8 minutes, and this has really been a very enlightening, eye-opening experience. If you don't feel comfortable answering this question, that's okay. Just say you don't feel comfortable, and we'll move on. But what are you, or have you gotten any type of messages or thoughts or feelings or intuition about the state of our economy and our newly elected president? Do you feel like things are going to get better, things are going to remain the same, get worse? Can you talk to that just for the last few minutes of the show?
Yeah, I would love to. I watch for the patterns in my cards when I'm repeatedly doing readings for people. And, of course, a lot of people were pulling the Nine of Spades, which showed a depressing influence on the planet for the year 2009. The good thing is that all these people that were pulling the Nine of Spades also pulled the Nine of Diamonds. So everybody's pulling these pair of nines all the time. And the Nine of Diamonds shows that the economy is going to start getting stronger by the end of April and that a lot of countries are going to come out of this really fast. And I just love Obama. I just think he's going to be a real blessing to the world. And the one thing that concerned me is that I did see him get assassinated twice in a dream. But that doesn't, I don't always have precognitive dreams, but I just think that it's the end of the old government, and that he kills that old government off and he takes over and he creates a rebirth, and the rebirth comes from him. And so, no, I think it's definitely going to change. It's going to be more of a struggle for some countries that are struggling more or their economies are not as strong. But, you know, the United States of America is a great country, and I don't think anything can destroy that. And I think it's going to come back very strong. For us, I see it happening in April, especially here in Alberta, because we're an oil-rich province. And we have a lot of natural resources, and I think it's going to come back, too. We just have to hang in there. And we're pretty resilient on this continent.
Yeah. Tony, do you have any comments about that? I know you're a big politics person.
Well, no, I was just listening, and I was just kind of amazed because the timelines that you gave are the timelines that, if things are to go the way they should go, it will be exactly that way. I mean, they're going to take some months, but they should start moving. And even what's amazing to me is that, you know, you feeling it and seeing it and having the intuition about it, it seems like that's the same energy I'm thinking. Now, let me ask you this real quick. How important in that kind of a scenario, how important is it for us as a nation and as people to take those energies, let's say, for instance, if we can we direct, you know, that kind of energy into our dreams to help situations and scenarios? Is that possible?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because our thoughts are energy, and, you know, what creates, you know, like, for example, our spirit guides and people in the spirit world, they work off energy. And what creates that energy for us humans is our thoughts and our deeds and our actions. So I've learned when I was a child that, for example, there's six words we should try to eliminate from our life. And the first word is the word want, because the energy of that word becomes one of a negative energy where you are going to be kept wanting, because that's really what you're asking for. The second word is the word need. I'm going to be kept needy because that's the energy I'm asking for. My mother taught me the law of attraction when I was 9 years old. I wish this woman was alive today because she could have written all these books that are out there now. And for me, she simply said, honey, remember all your life that what you focus on expands. The universe will not judge it as a positive or negative. It just gives you back energy. So if the people can learn to stay positive and stay in a place of love and realize that whatever they're going to give out, it's going to come back to them. And, for example, in my deck of cards, the 10 says you will get back tenfold what you give out to the world. So if I want love, I got to give it. If I want peace or respect, I have to give it. And it'll come back tenfold. But if I'm giving out fear and worry and anxiety, it'll also come back tenfold. I absolutely believe, Tony, that our thoughts create our destiny. Absolutely.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
I think I believe that, too, because I'm a life coach, and that's one of the things that I speak about quite a bit in my seminars is how positive attitude and positive thoughts are definitely the direction you're headed, because when you everything you focus on, you're right, it comes back to you tenfold. And whatever you want, you need to give it away. If you want love, give love away. If you want money, give money away.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can't get respect if I don't give it. I can't get respect
absolutely.
To receive love if I don't give it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's whatever I'm going to give out to someone, it's the power of the mirror. And the mirror is the most powerful thing we can ever understand. And that simply is whatever I want from you, I have to give it to you. No
right.
ands or buts. If I want that love, I have to give it. You know, it's like going for a job interview. You know, you'll probably get the job if you mimic the mirror, the interviewer. He sits back, you sit back. He comes forward, you come forward. You clasp your hands in a certain way and vice versa. And he wants to hire himself. So he finds somebody that does that. You know, it's all about mirrors. Everything is a reflection of something that's either going on in our life or we need to take a look at. And it's all about whatever you want, you have to give it. It's simple as that.
That is a wonderful analogy in the mirror. Because when you really think about it, if you look at yourself and whatever you give out, whether it's positive or negative, it's going to come back to you that way, then you should only want to give out positive things because that's all you want to get back.
Oh, absolutely. My mother said to me when I was a child, she said, no one can make you feel what you don't want to feel. She said, I can't make you laugh if you want to cry, and vice versa. She said, every emotion is a mirror of something going on in your soul that's probably connected to a learning or a lesson or a healing. She said, when you have an emotion, it's never about them, honey. She said, it's about you. She said, you chose me in the spirit world. We choose our parents. We're free spirits when we go over into God's world. And then we look around and eventually come back, sometimes with the same people because we have issues. But she said, every time you have an issue with me, she said, I see your lessons. And she said, when you have an issue with other people, including me, you're seeing your lessons or their lessons. She said, it's all about a mirror. She said, you just have to learn to look into the mirror.
And with that, we are going to say goodnight to everyone. This has been a fabulous show, Irene. Thank you so much. You have given such good insight and a lot of food for thought. I definitely want to revisit this and come back because every listener that was on hold, thank you ever so kindly for your patience. I am so sorry I wasn't able to get to you, but we definitely would be doing a part two on this show because it's an extremely important topic because we all want our lives to be better, and this is the way to do it by having these types of enlightening discussions. So, Irene, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
We are going to sign off for now. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
I'm Tony Lamont.
And we will see you next week on Living by Design. Good night, everyone.